This is Keep It Simple, a weekly discussion of significant issues regarding the Word of God and His people. Our host is Pastor Xavier Reese, Senior Pastor of Calvary Chapel Pasadena and the Simple Truths Radio Ministries.
Good day and welcome to Keep It Simple, weekly internet talk show, the Simple Truths Radio Network. Pastor Xavier Reese, good to see you, sir.
Good, Tony. Good to see you guys.
Amen. Glad to be here today. Today we also have with us in the studio our production engineer, John Duran.
Hello, everybody. Episode 244. Welcome to the show. This is August 2nd, 2022.
Amen. 44 yeah. and 22.
Yeah, there's some connection there, right?
We also have Pastor Sam Tirado and our brother Ray Miranda helping with audio and video. And we've got a couple of suspicious characters here this morning.
I wouldn't use guests.
Regular contributors to the broadcast.
Pastor Diego.
Pastor Diego Festa. Pastor Fernando Gonzalez. And we're going to spend a little bit of time today talking about a recent event that took place, something we try to do every year, although, you know, with recent complications, has been hit and miss for a couple of years. But we want to talk about...
Well, we're 2 for 2 the last 2 years, so
amen. Amen. You guys have been able to get away with the kids and have a great time. Yeah. You know, thinking about this, Pastor X, this morning, I was just thinking about the thing that makes events like Kids Camp and the Youth Conference so amazing is the fact that God can change the life of a person in a single day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What a miracle that is for us.
Yeah. That's why it's so important that pastors teach the Word of God. Yeah. You know, the whole thing is when church starts getting off into programs and different activities that really have no focus upon the Word of God or coming out of the Word of God, then there's no power in the life of people. Yeah. They can't defend themselves. And so, you know, the majority of decisions are made by kids for Christ.
Amen.
The older you get, the harder it is. We take it very seriously. We always have our children's ministry top priority. We pray that God would just deal with their little hearts. Children are, I mean, they're little sinners, don't get me wrong.
Amen.
But they have this innocence about them, though they're still little sinners, that the most natural thing to believe is in God.
Yes.
Because God has put that void in our heart. Mm-hmm. You have to destroy that hope in a child's heart and deviate him from it. And certainly the world is in that level right now.
Yeah.
They're just doing everything to take all hope from people. The only hope is Jesus Christ. And so we believe that the gospel is the one that will free the kids as well as the adults and give them hope for life.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons we're so excited. You know, gentlemen, as we mentioned, you guys do these events. Generally, you don't do them together at the same time, although that you have done that before.
Mm-hmm.
But this is kind of a unique situation. How did that, just out of curiosity, how did that come together this year?
We
started last year with that.
Yeah, we started last year, but because of the camp and the size of our camp, obviously we're not a big group, so it's advantageous for us to kind of come together. But the one thing that we made a point about with our kids is we're not segregated. In other words, okay, we have our kids here and our youth here. We're together. We are segregated for the sake of, in the sense of where our studies and the groups are together.
Because we teach at their age level.
Exactly.
Right.
But we intermingle. We're together. And I think that's important for the kids to understand, because it seems like, well, you know, you know how it is in the world.
Yeah.
You have the pecking order. You have the older kids and the younger kids.
Yeah.
They understand that already. But it worked out.
A good opportunity even for the youth kids, the older kids. Again, we reminded them, you know, the little ones are looking up to you, because you're the teenagers and you're those kids, and it was an opportunity for them to spend time with them and be an example. And sometimes they weren't that great of an example, but that was addressed, and you know, nothing major, but it's life, you know. They're just they're their brothers and
that's
sisters.
That's how it should be.
Yeah.
In a productive society, older kids, even if you're 11, 12, 13, 14, you are an example to the younger children.
Yeah.
It's
a
necessity.
Yeah. But you know, the challenge, I think, like for us especially, the younger kids, because of COVID and because I hate to say this, but parents have been very lax in getting their kids proactive. That they've grown accustomed to where their kids are locked away in their rooms mm-hmm. and they're playing video games, and they're more comfortable because mm-hmm. the refrigerator is there. They can just grab whatever and they just play video games all day. And parents, that's their babysitter. They're doing their thing, and we had to, in some cases, just encourage kids to come because they prefer to stay home.
And that first day for the little ones, day they're outside, and you can see that they're a little lost. You know, they're not used to trying to get their fresh air.
Yeah, they're not used to their legs under.
A few hours later, they're good to go. But
yeah.
It's interesting that they acclimate so quickly because I mean we're talking about for some of them months and months and months. Mm-hmm. They haven't been outside. They don't run around. They're not what we would understand as kids.
Yeah. But it's more detrimental to children because they haven't been live that long.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we as adults have been through many things. You know, we've gone through teens and all that. But children, they're indoctrinating and they're trying to mold and shape their mind to a worldview that is not reality. And this is straight across the board. The world's not living in reality. This whole pandemic and the COVID reset by Klaus Schwab and all that. It's not reality. It's reality for the elite that think that the rest don't have the right to access to things and life or anything else. But they're indoctrinating. So the kids get more affected by that. You stop and think about children that were born during the COVID and that some of those kids never saw the face of their parents for those first 2.5 years. That's because people are so freaked out about the mask, when the mask will do absolutely nothing for you. It won't even stop your bad breath. It's ridiculous. But again, there's a goal. There's a purpose behind it. It's not good. It's evil.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to destroy the mindset of kids and to have them be quacking ducks, not to be those who want to compete, not those who want to excel. That's one of the reasons why we have such a vast immigration into America. The immigration is to replace the American society, those that protest to those that are complicit and complacent.
Yeah.
It's no accident. And so it's very important for kids to get the gospel.
Amen.
And to minister unto them.
So now, for the benefit of our listeners this morning, can you guys give us a little thumbnail sketch of what goes on at a camp like this? I know everybody shows up at 8 o'clock on Friday, right?
Organized mayhem. Other than that, go ahead.
Oh, no, I stay away from them.
Yeah, they get here 8. Well, the summer one is Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Kids get here at 8, check them in, get them on the bus as soon as you can, and then it's 86 miles. It's a 2.5-hour drive. Children's bus.
How do the kids do with that?
They do well, except their bus broke down about 3 miles from
3
camp.
3 miles from camp, so, but,
oh,
but it worked out. But it delayed us a little bit.
Thank God it's just 3 miles from there.
Yeah, 3 miles. Out. But you know, I look at those situations. We look at it and go, "That's a bummer." But honestly, it's an opportunity.
Yeah.
It's an opportunity to tell kids, you know, hey, this is where we rest in the Lord. We pray and we trust Him, and you know, those are things that we want to tell them even as adults. That's what we do.
And their memories.
Yeah.
You know, remember that time where it's always the kids' buzz that breaks down. Those things are just...
And so you get them all to camp.
Yes.
And do you, right away, do you have a meeting with them together? Do you get them in the cabins? How does that work?
We feed them.
We feed them.
We have food because we pack lunches for them. We have food. We get there a little early, so cabins don't happen until a little bit later. So then we go into Bible study. Usually we have all our Bible studies separate, but this year, the first and the last study we did together.
Mm-hmm.
So it worked out good.
It was a little bit of a challenge for... Because there was the youth leaders that taught him, so they had to, you know, remember that there were younger ones in the audience and adjust that. But it went well. And so after that, they have some free time. We do some games and stuff, and then they go into their cabins and their different specific groups. The cabins are separate in age because it's, you know, so the children's ministry have their cabins with their leaders and youth has theirs and also gender. You know, keep the boys with the boys and the girls with pink and blue. We don't make purple.
And Mile High Pines, you know, they're a great camp. They're, you know, guys there.
Yeah, you guys have really developed a relationship with them.
Yeah, great guys.
We've been there since 2009. Actually, first retreat we did there, we did together for summer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're just great up there. They're very cognizant of the needs of the kids, the spiritual needs of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
They'll come out and pray for the group. And and just really just a great group of people up
do
there.
Do they do an orientation at the beginning where they talk
used
to the kids?
More so, not anymore. They know we know.
Yeah, okay. They know us. They kind of let us run the camp.
You know where the firewood is. You know where the matches are. Go ahead. Nice. Just come in for food.
But I tell you, it's funny, seeing the kids when they arrive, they have that look like they've landed on a different planet.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, how do I make out these things, you know? And some of these kids just don't get out. And like Diego says, we have lunch, but then we go into our studies. And that's the focus of the camp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is you know, we sit down and we talk about a theme, what we want to look at for the year, or for camp, and we set up studies, and I thought it was really good this year.
So, by your estimation, mm-hmm. how important is it for young people to get away for a couple of days together in a situation like this? How useful is it in terms of the Lord developing and speaking to these kids?
Two things. One, for the parents, mm-hmm. to let their kids go. Mm-hmm. Because they're so attached to these kids that mm-hmm. they're constantly on their phones interacting. You know, how is our kid doing? They need to let them go. They need to trust the Lord. And two, that
the distractions.
Then the kids, that it's an interesting dynamic because you could tell they're homesick, mm-hmm. and they just want to call their parents, mm-hmm. and they're making excuses why they feel ill or they want to leave but after that first day, you can see that, like you're saying, how quickly they adjust and they realize, you know, I'm actually having a good time.
I'm okay.
It's not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
For the teenagers, it's a lot of the distraction stuff. The parents mm-hmm. too. I mean, some parents need to let their teenagers go. And
so, do you allow kids to have their phones and stuff during the event?
We try not to have for them to have phones, but the phones make their way there. So we make it a point. It's like, use it to make memories. You want to take pictures and stuff because we want you to go home and take pictures.
But, sure.
If we catch them on social media and stuff like that or texting, make friends here. Then we'll warn him, and eventually, if we need to, if it becomes an issue, we'll take the phone away mm-hmm. for a little bit and give it back. Or if it's a major issue, then it's...
It seemed like a major issue this year.
This year was pretty good. I think most of the kids gotten used to the idea. It's like, and some mm-hmm. of their phones don't work up there. And so they just...
That was interesting. We did. We had a moment where the whole day,
there was no... Even for us, there was no signal. We couldn't get a hold of anybody. But to your question, too... I was reminded on Saturday night we had a time after the study, we had a time of prayer and worship and communion, and one of the worship leaders in the youth ministry who grew up here he was sharing in between songs and how he pointed to a corner in that building we're meeting. He goes, that corner right there, this, you know, 2015, he goes, I gave my life to the Lord in one of these summer retreats or one of the winter retreats that we were there. And the Lord does that, you know, and it strengthens the kids that have a walk, and the kids are not saved. And this is a kid that grew up in church, but came to a realization in his teenage years that he needed to give his life to the Lord. And it happens here, too, sometimes you get him away from the distraction like that, and it's like a place where, you know, we use it as an opportunity. The Lord ministers to him. That's where we go. That's why it's called retreat. We just kind of get away.
Or you hear what goes on in the home.
Yeah. Yeah,
the prayers that come up.
You know these kids are going through, mm-hmm. and it just tears you up because you see these kids, and you know they're trying to make the best of it, but then they sometimes look at this, am I the problem? You know, and they're not the problem. There's just issues at home, and you know, and it's good for them to see, hey, you know, you're not the problem. You just seek the Lord and you pray, and so that's part of what we try to do with the kids.
It's a lot of opportunities for ministry, you know, for the kids.
And God uses all that, you know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, turning the hearts of the parents back through the children, mm-hmm. one of the scripture says. Mm-hmm. You know, many of these kids come home from a home, even though they may come to church in that. But again, they're not really living out their Christianity. Yeah. There's mm-hmm. issues going on in the home. Well, that child knows that very much so when they come. And they see the difference. But they're encouraged to trust the Lord and the power they have in prayer, mm-hmm. and for them to intercede for their mom and dad, mm-hmm. and for them to be an example. Mm-hmm. So in other words, they become part of that solution rather than like the world blaming them or whatever it may be, or their own perspective of it. And so it's important that you know, we encourage them in the Lord to trust the Lord. Lord, that they will do anything, mm-hmm. and that God, you know, God has them there for a purpose. That's the main thing.
And the prayer leading to the events and during the events, it's not just for the kids that are going up, but for the parents at home, mm-hmm. yeah. that the Lord will minister to them. And when the kids come back, some of the kids, you know, the Lord minister to them there and does a great work, but they're still going back to whatever mess
right.
the home was, if that was the mm-hmm. issue. Amen. Those things don't change right away. And so the prayer is for both ends of it.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, if parents were listening, let your boys go outside, get hurt. They got beat two out of three times, the tug of war, the girls beat them. So get your boys out and you know, get them active, get them outside.
Yeah. Pastor X, in some ways, you know, we're really in new territory as a Christian church in the 21st century. And I hesitate to say that there's more opposition than the church has seen in other ages, but it certainly is different opposition. And how do we best prepare ourselves for the fight that we have in the world right now?
Well, it's different for us as Americans because we've never had this type of opposition.
Amen.
Though it's always been present kind of in a mild way, you know, progressively from the 60s on, got away from God. You know, Nietzsche said God is dead and all the different movements and that. But the American church has never suffered. There's never been persecution. And for the first time, we are receiving very direct persecution, opposition by those in government, those in politicians, by the school administrators, by the mayors, by governors.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little different, although we still have the liberty and the freedom because we're still a republic, but they're trying to cancel that out and change it and alter it in every way. And a lot of that has come to the head with these last 2.5 years. And so there's some good things happening. But we also know that that the Lord is coming. He said he's going to come back. We know that the Antichrist will appear. We know that the Lord will remove his church first. Mm-hmm. So this is nothing new to us. The only thing new about what's going on is we didn't know how it was going to happen. But we know it's going to happen.
Amen.
It's inevitable. It'll be a global world. It will be headed by the Antichrist. So all of this is just the foundation being laid for him when he comes to have access to all the information, all the cyber information, everything. And it will be very limited to those who obey him, just like it is right now. Many people are being marginalized academically, medically, even in churches.
Mm-hmm.
If you oppose the public domain of mandates,
mm-hmm.
If you say anything against the vaccines, or if you dare to speak against individual politicians, well, we know that though we've been privileged to not have any of that tribulation as other aspects of the church for the majority of history, but we know that we are to know that when it comes, we're to stand.
Amen.
So, but not everybody thinks that way, and the church is not a bit equipped that way because of the deception of the German New Orthodox that entered Fuller Seminary and many others. You know, they don't believe in the inerrancy of the Scripture, the infallibility. They could care less about doctrine. Seminaries have become schools of psychology,
mm-hmm.
Christian colleges, liberal to the max. I don't know why they call themselves Christians still.
You wonder.
But that's where we're at. You know, there's churches, pastors, that they don't teach the Word of God. You take the emergent church. They just usually preface their sermon by some movie they saw that night or the latest movie or something, and they nifty little illustrations and soft applications, but nothing scriptural, nothing spiritual. But that's where the church is at. It's not the Church of Jesus Christ.
Well, you know, that our theme is here, you know, is ready or not.
Yeah, right. We're looking at the rapture and end times and all that stuff.
Second Peter 3, mm-hmm. where Peter says, like to stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, the last days mockers will come, and they're going to mm-hmm. say, where is the promise of his coming?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he addresses the flood, and of course Sodom and Gomorrah, and These are the things that they're going to tell us, and they're going to mock you. They're going to ridicule you, and they're going to marginalize you. And we want our kids to know that if you stand for Christ, that's going to be the attack.
Yes.
Not because you're a good person.
And that's so awesome to think that you can actually bring that down to a level for a third grader to be able, maybe they're not going to get the whole picture, but they're going to get enough of the substance of what's in that scripture to be prepared and recognize, you know, what's coming. Yeah. That's wild.
Yeah, the key is being born again. That's why we have these camps. Some of these kids are not born again.
Amen.
And we're praying they make that commitment to Christ. Once a child makes a commitment to Christ, or an adult, now they have the Holy Spirit of God. Now they're able to understand the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And so our goal is to present Christ to people so now they can depend upon Christ. Mm-hmm. So we present Christ, they depend upon Christ. And we're there to help them.
And we do the same thing every day, every week. Yeah. It's just that it's a concentrated version of it, though, of what we do on Sundays or on Tuesdays. And
now, most of these kids who go to the camp are people that you're acquainted with.
Yeah.
You see them pretty regularly in church. You probably know their families. Mm-hmm. And you've got some background and some direction. But there's always a handful that are either invited by friends, cousins, neighborhood kids. And did you ever have a situation or see this week where you actually saw the light go on in some of these kids who may not have actually had any experience as believers?
This year, I think we may have one or two kids that don't come to this church I've seen before. And they're really good. Mm-hmm. I think Diego's the one who probably experiences more of
that. Yeah, because they invite their friends. And we've had a good amount of new kids that don't come to church here regularly. They'll visit from time to time because they go to other churches and they came with us. There is a couple kids, one in particular, this is his second retreat with us, and you can tell he's starting to ask questions and things are happening wanted to come to church and stuff. And then, like, our Saturday night, which is our time of prayer and stuff, you know, kids come up for prayer and things like that. So you know that the Lord is doing and
that's
convicting
nice.
And working. And, you know, when a teenager... gets up and walks forward for prayer, you know, sums up. Because they don't want anybody
don't
to know what's going
that.
On in their life.
That's right.
So that's a good thing.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. That's pretty awesome. Yeah. You know, it's challenging to introduce real teaching and instruction to kids in an event like this. Do you guys have any trade secrets for those who are listening into the broadcast?
You know what? It really boils down to the meetings we have with our leaders in that to really boil the scripture down as simple as possible, because the scripture is given to us that way in a sense, right? And so that's been the challenge with us is, hey, you don't have to make it very complicated for the children. So that's really the core of what we do.
We're blessed to have people that sat in Bible study here for years. I mean, everybody that taught this week in both the children's ministry and youth ministry, they've been sitting under Xavier for years, and they're getting the word, and, you know, you just regurgitate what you hear, and you study, and whatever the Lord shows you. And we're blessed to have people that can do that. I mean, we almost don't have to teach if we don't want to that week, and we just have
the value of just teaching the word, there is safety in that, because if they start to teach whatever they wanted to teach, now we're
what are you going to get
from it, and now, you know, what are they going to get, what are we going to get, and it's more problematic. So if they stick to the scripture, there's really safety in that.
And that's the key, get people to know the Word of God so they understand it and they are able to communicate to the children without it being a sermon or something lengthy or complicated. But that and that one-on-one relationship is you're up there with them, spending time. They see you out there with them and everything.
And these are people who, just like anything else in ministry, they're called to this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, the Lord has called them to minister to the little ones or to the teenagers, and you see it. And the way they teach and the way to relate to them and how they serve them. And every year is like that, but some years, you know, this year for myself, I was, you know, a lot of the young adults that are starting to serve, just graduated in the last 2 years, and now they're serving youth ministry, and just watching them step up and just take care of things. I have a bad habit of just taking care of stuff, you know, and watching them just take care of stuff and ministering to kids, and without having to tell them, hey, that needs to be in there.
That's nice.
And that's just the Lord working in their lives, and they see the examples and other people that have been doing it before them.
And you were sharing about a particular situation. You had some kids who were kind of standoffish. You weren't really, you know, involved and stuff. And there was a leader who came in at the last minute, or whatever the plan was, I don't know, but it seemed like the Lord really prepared this person to really engage with those kids and to really help them get out of their shell.
Well, there's, yes. That was actually Keith Day.
Mm-hmm.
He lives in Philly, and last 2 years, when we have camp, he lets us know. I'm going to, you know, he's a pilot, so he decided, well, I want to try to make my plans around that weekend so I could be here. He came with his two daughters, and they went with the youth, and he served with us, with the kids. And what was really cool, and I didn't even expect this, is we had like one or two kids, and we had two kids that were just very introverted. You could tell they're just not used to being out. They just didn't want to, don't worry, Ray, wasn't your son. we have to wrangle him in.
Ken was
you have anything to say?
Yeah. No, but Keith just grabbed these kids, and they're like, no. He'd pick them up and would just carry them like a fireman, just take them running, and you just see them light up, just smiles on their faces, and he would roughhouse with them, and just, you know, act like he was a big brother. I mean, in the most simplest way you could put it, like a big brother. And by the end of camp, they were laughing and giggling with
That's
him.
Nice.
And I just thought, I didn't expect it. I didn't see that coming.
And this guy landed in LAX at 9 in the morning. We were already driving up, got a rental car with his two daughters, drove up the mountain, broke down in Upland.
Yeah.
Wow. So I had to wait for another rental car and eventually made it to the...
No, right then someone was trying to commit suicide. They were jumping from a bridge.
The freeway was closed.
Eventually,
he made it to camp. So, you know, the Lord was, you know, going to use him. The enemy was trying to slow things down, but it was great having him.
Yeah, but he
it's a blessing.
He came that to me. I didn't see that. I didn't expect that. It was really cool
That's
to see.
Nice.
It was a lesson to me. It's like see some kids like, okay, how are we going to do it? You know, he just jumped right in and just took care and you know,
nice.
Like wow, that was pretty cool.
God is so good.
Yeah,
God is faithful.
He gifts these people that way.
Yeah.
You know?
It's amazing. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think in a different way we kind of see that with everything that we do, with all the events that we do, even regular Sunday services.
Mm-hmm.
You know, situations come up and there are guys in the ushers that are gifted in one way and another, and the Lord anoints them and uses them, and it's just God's faithfulness. I think about that and I think how much of that is related to the prayer that goes up for these events. Because I know there were tons of people praying for this event.
No doubt.
You know, and all of that ties
well,
together.
It's funny because you go, the bus broke down. You're like, anybody praying about this? Did they pray for this? You know? But we know that whenever you're doing anything for the Lord, the enemy's right there. He's always there to undermine what he's doing.
And by the way, it was a brand new bus.
It was a brand new bus.
It was an old bus.
Brand new bus. Had less than 10,000 miles on it, and a belt broke.
But again, the reality of the children, you know, you realize that this is life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, life's not perfect.
Yeah.
You got to deal with the situations, the problems. God's on the throne, but you're looking to Him. You're asking Him for wisdom, and you plow forward. Mm-hmm. You know, that's important.
And then, and even in that, we took the youth bus up, unloaded the youth, unloaded everything, so that bus can go back down and get the little ones. And we put a bunch of youth boys in the bus to help unload the other bus. So that in itself, you know, these kids have an opportunity to serve the younger ones. The little ones see this. Hey, these guys came, you know, to the rescue kind of thing. And
where were you?
I was preparing lunch.
You were
somebody
eating.
Had to. No.
You were
somebody
eating
had
lunch.
To prepare lunch.
So he says. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Keep It Simple. Today we're talking with Pastor Fernando Gonzalez, Pastor Diego Festa, about their recent adventure with the youth camp and all the awesome things that God does. And we'll be right back with you after these messages.
The mission of Calvary Chapel Pasadena Women's Ministry is to encourage and strengthen the women of the body in the word of the Lord so that they might endure life's trials in His power and strength. And the instruction of God's Word to women by women plays such an important role in the church body. That's why we're blessed to make available the Women's Bible Studies Flash Drive.
It's an audio compilation featuring past Bible studies from the Calvary Chapel Pasadena Women's Ministry. Loaded onto a reusable USB flash drive, you're able to hear the teachings from your home computer or take them with you on your mobile device. Included are women's Bible study teaching series such as Characteristics of a Godly Woman and Lessons Learned from Women of the Old and New Testament, book studies from the Psalms, the Gospels, and many, many more enclosed together on the Women's Bible Studies flash drive. Look for it in the audio messages section of our online store at calvarychapelpasadena.com.
Pastor Xavier Reese and Becoming a Living Testimony.
One of the qualities of salt is that it causes people to thirst. You've heard of the saying all the time, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, right? But the rebuttal to that is you can give him some salt. We are to cause people to thirst for righteousness. As they look at your life, look at my life.
Check the online program guide for Pastor Xavier Reese's daily expositional studies here on Simple Truths Radio at CalvaryChapelPasadena.com.
Throughout the Gospels, we're witness to the apostles' humanity in their struggles and triumphs. Yet, after Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, these 12 men would come to turn the world upside down. And it's from a recent study series that Pastor Xavier Reese has combined 12 messages highlighting each of the apostles into one CD pack or single MP3 disc, available now in the online store at CalvaryChapelPasadena.com. In this new 12 Apostles series, you'll discover how Peter, James, John, Philip, Matthew, and all the apostles were not just chosen, called, and commissioned by Jesus, but equally enabled to accomplish the ministry to which they were called, even as we, the saints, are today. It's the 12 Apostles series, packaged in a brand new audio CD pack for $32, or in a single MP3 disc for just $12 plus shipping. Look for the new 12 Apostles series when you browse the online store at CalvaryChapelPasadena.com.
We return now to Keep It Simple and this week's discussion, Addressing Issues of Consequence for the Church, hosted by Pastor Xavier Reese of Calvary Chapel Pasadena.
And you're back with us here at Keep It Simple. Today we're talking with the Bowery Boys. Pastor,
the Bowery Boys.
Fernando Gonzalez, Diego Fester. We're talking about ministry to kids at their recent camp, Ready or Not. And we do have an important event coming up, Jonathan.
Youth event, right, Diego? Yeah.
Right, on, what is it? It's going to be August 13th?
August 13th,
like a week from this coming Saturday?
Not this week, and the following. We have a youth conference. We have Pastor Tony actually is going to be teaching for us, and Pastor Andre Vibriesca from Calvary Chapel of Esalen Arcadia, and Pastor Andrew Cochran from Calvary Chapel Long Beach. Both of those guys, and Tony, all three of you guys have been involved in youth ministry too before, and served alongside with them and stuff.
Although
so I
can't remember
great.
It very clearly.
Oh, we'll make it.
What's the theme?
The theme is Let's Get Real. We're going to be talking about the importance of the Word of God, the importance of your walk with the Lord, and the importance of your witness. And there's going to be food.
Do we want to mention that we're going to stream this event?
Yeah, well, you just did.
Yeah.
Actually, we are streaming it too. It doesn't mean you just sit at home and watch it. You should come. Right. But the parents can watch it.
Yeah. And
send the kids and you parents watch it.
Yeah, if you're
home.
Not a local, we'll be going live.
And the event is actually free. The $10 is just for lunch.
Yes.
If you want to eat lunch, but the event is free.
Good.
So.
And what's the time frame again?
What is it?
10 a.m. to 3?
10 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah,
Pacific Standard Time, mm-hmm. right?
Amen.
Yeah.
Can it be great? Please, if you're not, you don't have youngsters or 7th through 12th graders in your home, please keep it in prayer.
Even I've been talking to a few kids that just graduated high school, and they're like, oh, yeah, come on in, because it's important for them, too. They're at that age.
Nice.
Amen. Mm-hmm. You know, speaking of the fact, I used to, in my past history, be involved with youth ministry. It's a wonderful thing in an event like the retreat that you guys did, mm-hmm. Ready or Not, that over the past Friday afternoon and evening, Saturday all day, Sunday morning, mm-hmm. but you really develop a rapport with these kids that's different than what you have opportunity mm-hmm. to have mm-hmm. seeing them a couple hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
And it changes your open doors for how you speak to them and the work that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
You see them develop relationships between one another.
Yes.
And it really is a powerful
especially,
thing.
Especially when they come up, they need prayer for things. You know what's going on in their lives and what the needs are, and, mm-hmm. and the Lord opens doors with that. And, and yeah, you get to know them, you get to remember their names.
Especially especially after the camp, when you see them in the hallway, they just look at you like,
yeah.
We were through something together.
Yeah, yeah, we did something that nobody
else. We did something.
Yeah.
Like my man Kent.
One of the things we never tire of seeing is, you know, the amazing blessing of God's work through His Word. And, you know, there's nothing better in the world. And it must be wild for you to be at a weekend like that and see young people affected through the course and see them changed and touched. And part of that is when you get back, you know, the relationship that you have and your connection to them is built around the truth of Scripture and their relationship with the Lord. Something that, I mean, has just changed my life was speaking to the kids at Vacation Bible School this year. Mm-hmm. And it was very simple, but I asked all the kids at the different studies that I did, just asked some questions. We're going to pray to start the study. Why do we pray when we start before a study? And I went through and I asked all these 15, 10 little kids who wanted to answer, you know, six-year-olds, seven-year-olds, I asked them. And they blew my mind. They blew my mind. And what it was these kids are born again. A six-year-old child is born again and has the Spirit of God. And they gave me answers I was unprepared for. You know, and I just think about you guys going away to camp. It's amazing.
Yeah.
God's doing a work. Not only do you minister to them, but they minister to you.
Absolutely.
They teach you.
Yeah. And that's another one, like we pray for the parents. We also pray for all of us going up that we'll be sensitive to what the Lord is doing and you know, not get in the way of that. And yeah, we get blown away every year.
I have to say, absolutely, my son coming back, the confidence in his faith, wow, it just exploded. And throughout the weekend, absolutely, just hanging out, he quoted scripture several times just in things we were doing. And so it was really beautiful. Seriously. Okay. Just,
well, Diego got saved.
Great.
Again,
he got saved.
That's totally awesome, Ray. Yeah. Totally awesome.
That's really cool.
And your son is awesome.
Oh, man.
He's something. We're grateful. And, you know, so many kids. You know, we're just like, what a privilege it is for us to serve these kids.
Well, and the relationships they built—it's pretty cool to see, because you know these kids kind of look at each other, and then as hours go by and the day goes by, you see them hanging out and they're laughing, they're running, and they're playing Gaga ball for hours, and you know they're just having a great time. You know,
you guys always yearly—I'm sure you have kids that are brand new, don't know anything about church experience, and but the Lord breaks them in; He's got a plan for this. Are you ever shocked by the questions or situations that you're presented with that caught off guard?
You know, that's an interesting question, because you're like you, when you're asking these questions at VBS, you kind of have you have a list of questions that you're pretty pat, but then once in a while they'll throw you a curveball,
or their attitude at camp compared to, you know, there was a young man who was his first retreat with us with the youth, grew up at church, and growing up we've seen him here at church and. He was exceptional this week, and I told him, thank you for, and I met his mom on this Sunday. I go, man, your son was incredible. And she goes, nah.
Who?
She goes, really? I go, he was amazing. She goes, I need to hear that. And but you know, because they're outside of what we see every day, and they're also growing. Then last year, you know, not only he's you know taller than everybody else, but there's been a change, and the Lord's working in his life, and there's still that seventh grade goofiness that's there. You know, that's part of the awesome thing that we do. But it was just amazing to see, and you get surprised, and then you're going, "Wow, I wasn't expecting that this weekend." Thank you. Yeah. You know,
yeah, but that's good. And sometimes you know, as parents grow. I mean, they live with the kid, day in and day out.
Yeah,
you know, and they bug.
Oh yeah,
they antagonize whatever it is. But what shocks the parent is, because they've been faithful to catechize that child, to bring him to church, to set the word before him, that when he's in public or he's in other people's presence, he knows what he needs to do and he does it. Okay, he's going to push the envelope at home, and it needs to be called.
Yeah.
But the fact is that they know what they're to be, and that's excellent because then it even gets the parents. You talking about my son?
Yeah.
But, you know, kind of to your point, we were having a conversation this morning about some of the youth we see who no longer are coming here, but they're still friends with our kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what's the term I'm looking for? They have not applied what the Word of God tells them to do.
No.
Into the study of the Word.
Yeah, if they're not gonna, if they're not reading, they're not gonna apply. But the idea is, they're not satisfied,
right.
And so they sit in this group and they're justifying why they don't come to church or justify things that you know that they're not being obedient about. But that comes from parents who are equally not applying
right.
mm-hmm. what the Word says. They go to church, but they're not applying right. in their own life. And so these kids, they're saying, "Well, I don't have an example at home either."
Right.
So they're dissatisfied. And that's a sad place to be. Yeah. We have parents who do, and you can see the difference.
Because there are long-term consequences to that situation.
That's yeah. right.
You know?
Especially right. when you're an adult, and you don't have the accountability that you used to have. You're mm-hmm. out there doing your thing.
Yeah.
And
the importance of a parent who just is walking with God, obeying God, and holding that standard in their home. Yeah. They don't lower the bar, nor do they compromise. And you could see.
Yeah.
You could see that.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, and it's always like that on every level, whether it be the kid, the parent, or whatever it is. Yeah. Individual decisions people have to make, but of course the parents and those in authority have the greater responsibility mm-hmm. because they are there as an example. Yeah. And it's important, not like the world to see two different things, hypocrisy, stuff like that. Again, nobody's perfect or sinless, but mm-hmm. that accountability is there. And we're very aware of that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably... if any of the most important thing is that the individual in service understands his responsibility, mm-hmm. his accountability to God. That's the heart of it. If you don't have that, then you play the game. Yeah. But when you understand who God is, what he's called you to do, then you know that you have to do it before the Lord. And that's important.
Yeah. Very important. And we stress that with the kids and even Diego with the youth that irregardless of your friends, your family, mm-hmm. you have a walk with the Lord.
Yeah. Right.
You can't make excuses. Mm-hmm. You know, you're gonna have this walk with yeah. the Lord, and it's you. It's you and
yeah.
the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, so personal accountability.
Yeah. The only way it works.
It's funny. You said something earlier made me think of, you know, there in 2 Peter, we're going through the passage, and you know, when Peter says, "Be mindful," like I told the kids, you need to have your minds full. And I said, "Let me ask you, what's on your Spotify playlist?" And they all just kind of look at each other. Because then I would know what your mind is full of, mm-hmm. right? And I go, "Well, who lives in a pineapple under the sea?" Y'all, SpongeBob SquarePants. So they all know that's what your minds are full of. And so, you know, again, so who's Abimelech? You know, and you can hear crickets. It's like, oh, there
some of the youth, we just did that study on Sunday, so they knew the answer, but because it was a week old.
Yeah, right, so, but the idea was, you know, what are we filling our minds with? Right. And it's always that, right? Yeah. It's what we study, what we're looking at. So,
yeah.
you know, pretty cool things, though.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice.
I don't know if it was just me, but it seemed like there was a ridiculous amount of spiritual warfare leading up to the events of your camp. I mean, you had camp counselors, house got broken into,
yes.
and just all kinds of normal difficulties, a little sickness, a little illness, car breakdown, you know, bus trouble. But it just seemed like there was an intense.
That's always,
as a constant.
Yeah.
But I really expected amazing, miraculous things. It seemed like the enemy was intent mm-hmm. on disturbing God's purpose in this event. Mm-hmm. And
that's why I took my wife with me.
One of the things always amazes me is how the momentum of the weekend builds going forward. How, and you have an anticipation as you arrive at Sunday, you know, you're expecting God to just really bring about a wonderful mm-hmm. conclusion to the weekend. And it's always fun for us here at the church as you guys come back, because you really do come back as different people.
Yeah.
And that's awesome.
Tired.
Awesome to see. Yeah. Haggard,
you know,
beat up.
You know what's funny? What goes through my mind on Sunday morning, and we always say, okay, we're going to, you know, what time are you expected to be there? Oh, 1:30, right? I go, we're not going to make it at 1:30.
No, never.
And never, for some reason, there's always some altercation, you know, bus related or something. But you know what? And it happened this year too. I mean, we had a situation on the way down, and
we were here on time.
Close, pretty close. You guys said 2 o'clock, so
yeah, we were like 20 minutes apart.
Yeah. Situation. So it was interesting.
But yeah, you know. But even with that, like you were saying, you know, you look forward to toward the end of the retreat and how things progress, and you come to that last night, you know, and everything that's been going on, and all the word study has been going on, and the opportunities for ministry and the Lord individually dealing with these kids, and you see it, and the response of the kids and their attitudes, and then we pray, then we remind them, come down the mountain, just it doesn't have to happen at camp. You can do this every day, and you can, this should be your daily walk, you know.
You know, it's really cool too, is not just we see it with the kids, we see the leaders.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
yeah.
You know, you see them well up with tears, and just a conviction of.
Especially leaders are serving for the first time.
Yeah.
They get blown away. They've never been to camp, and they're serving for youth or children's camp for the first time, and you just sit back and watch, and like the Lord's dealing with them, you know, and they're doing a great work, and it's good to see.
Yeah, and that's why it's important for everybody to serve. You know, God says, you know, everybody has at least one gift. You need to be active. You need to be involved. People that aren't involved in ministry is not good. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't just come in like the in and out, you know, but... We better be giving out, better be serving people, very important. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you detach yourself from the reality of the truth.
Well, it's easy to be a Christian when you just sit in the pew on Sundays, right. You know, just that's it. But when you're put in situations, especially when it comes to kids, having to minister, the things they go through, even little ones where they get sick and you got to take care of them, or, you know, somebody clogged the toilet and you got to go take care of that. You do it, you know.
You mean the bee sting at the pool?
The bee sting
in the pool. Got a bee sting in the pool. All kinds of stuff.
So now I know. Essentially, as you're planning and putting together the rough outline, you know, the skeleton of an event like this for both of you guys, it's all about the kids. You're looking to minister to the kids, encourage the kids, but there is a whole aspect of it where you're training people who are involved in the ministry that you guys do, and you've got a whole staff of people up there with you. Mm-hmm. And is there an effort during the weekend? I know when you're up there doing this that it's, you know, you're kind of firemen, you're putting out fires everywhere as you go. But do you ever take advantage of the opportunity to really develop the adult leaders that are there with you? Or is that kind of just the Lord's thing? How does that work?
I think it varies from retreat to retreat, but there's always opportunities for us to spend time together. Usually happens, for us in youth ministry, happens early in the morning. So we get up and we have a room where there's coffee and stuff. I mean, there's like, we're better equipped than Starbucks. Mm-hmm. And we sit there and we get a time to talk and we're going through the word together and people are doing the devotionals. And that's when it usually happens. And or after, at the end of the night, when everybody gets put to bed, you know.
Nice.
During the day, you know, it's busy. But the Lord opens doors and opportunities for us to fellowship and minister to one another.
One of the things about what we do in serving the Lord is that we're always in the process of working ourselves out of a job. Mm-hmm. And we're looking for, you know, I mean, for all we know, you know, there needs to be somebody to take up the mantle in days to come. You ever have a sense of that as you're looking at the people that you're working with? And, you know, something we talk about occasionally.
No, I feel threatened. I get rid of them.
If they're really good.
We have an understanding. Yeah. I send him over there and he sends them to me.
And we treat him harshly.
It's interesting you say that. It's an interesting question because you think, to be replaced? Right, but then the Lord speaks to you about, well, you need to be poured into individuals because you're not the only one. Mm-hmm. So that, I'm very cognizant of that.
And I'm reminded. I mean, I served with you in youth ministry when you were the youth pastor, and when it was the time, the Lord took care of it. Amen. But and even throughout that period, you were poured into all kinds of different people, and the Lord knew who it was going to be, and it's the same thing now. You know, I look at a lot of the youth leaders, and I see characteristics like, oh, that's really cool, you know. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, the Lord picks them. Lord is the one who sets
them. That's what we want.
And I just got to make sure that, you know, that I'm walking and I'm growing and that they're walking and they're growing and the Lord just takes them and uses them and that's it.
Yeah, and that's the main thing, you know, when you're not in any sort of competition, it's not like the world, you're going to see who can you can beat out or whatever it is. That's not it. God calls people, anoints them, he puts the ministry together. Our staff has been basically the same for all these years. We get along, we're best friends. We all know what we have to do. We know our gifts. We know what God has called us to do. Mm-hmm. But we're also able to step back and look at the whole thing and to realize that this is greater than any man. This is God doing it.
Amen.
So don't mess up. Don't think that you're great or anything else. Yeah. God put it all together, and he takes care of it, and we're so thankful to him. Yeah. And that's the whole thing. You gotta
it's his problem, and he doesn't have problems. Right? And, I mean, even with when it comes to youth ministry, I'm too stinking old to be a youth pastor. When you look at the other youth ministries in other churches, and we were there, and there was a junior high pastor of a church that was leaving, and he was probably 25. You know, he's young enough to be my son,
right?
And that's the norm.
Yeah,
but it's whatever the Lord has.
Sure,
and, you know.
Yeah, God takes care of it.
So,
yeah,
as I can walk.
Yeah,
amen. The Lord is good. He's barely. Got a plan. You know, you guys, I imagine you make notes for future years, and the world we live in is so uncertain. I mean, the culture we live in today, we don't know what's coming next year.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what the enemy's plans are for the culture we live in, and whether it'll be an opportunity. But we plan, we prepare, and you guys are on top of this, and so it's exciting, you know, to anticipate that we have opportunity coming in the years, and God continues to raise up people. God answers prayers.
Amen, yes.
And just excited to see these kids grow, and especially, you know, your kids, your families are all just,
all his kids pretty much are, you know, serving youth ministry.
He stole them.
I stole them all.
He stole them all.
And they're just a blessing, you know, and I see my daughter and his kids, and they're ministering to kids and teaching devotionals and leading worship, and we get to watch all that.
It's interesting because we have these plans, you know. It's always been our plan for the high school kids to serve the younger kids, but when you see it happen, it just it's off the chart.
Well, like you were saying earlier, it's like they pick up areas that surprise you.
Yeah.
That you, you know, they're taking care of that in a way that, you know, a little different than what you thought, and it's really good to see that develop. Mm-hmm. You know, now it's theirs.
And one of the ways you know that it ain't you.
That's
right. It's the Lord doing the work.
That's right.
And they're hearing the Lord, and they're being obedient to what the Lord's calling them. That's great stuff.
If you had an opportunity to ask people to pray for the ministries as you guys serve, what would you exhort them to pray for the kids for?
Well, I would, you know, prayer for the kids and their parents, like what we talked about parents, you know, just being obedient to the Lord and ministering to their kids, because we only have them a couple hours a week.
Yeah.
And they have the greater work, and so pray for the parents too, because their parents want their kids walking with the Lord. Just sometimes, you know, how they answer to that. And then for us to, you know, to be sensitive to the Lord, continue to be sensitive to the Lord has. We have an event coming up, and we want to make sure that, you know, the Lord does what he needs to do that weekend and minister to these kids. And then opportunities for service, just like, you know, on the 23rd, we're going to Mexico with you and a group.
27. You're going the 27th. I'm going the 26th.
Yeah, and it's opportunity for even for the youth to serve there, too, just things like that. You know, all these things that the Lord wants to do, we want to make sure we're sensitive to it.
Yeah. Amen.
That's great.
And, you know, I think that I put myself, obviously, as a parent, that my eyes are fixed on him.
Mm-hmm.
Because if my eyes aren't fixed on him, my relationship, my wife's not going to be right. And if my relationship with my wife's not right, my relationship with my kids isn't going to be right. So I think it's detrimental as a parent that they're just seeking the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean that in a superficial way, because we can just be very, very general about it. But how much time are they spending in seeking the Lord versus seeking entertainment or seeking to fill their schedule with something?
Mm-hmm.
How about making the Lord a priority in your life? And then that priority will bleed into what you'll see in your family and your kids.
Mm-hmm.
So that would probably be the priority.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Really appreciate, you know, the Lord's hand upon these ministries and the event specifically, and all the people that God has raised up from the body and has equipped and enabled to bless these kids, to care for them. And, you know, it's interesting. It's an investment, Pastor X, because we believe that there is a benefit coming back to the body.
Sure.
Just to our church, not to mention, you know, culture at large.
Yeah.
But these kids like, you know, Ray's son Kent and so many others, that these are going to be people that are going to bless everyone around them in the years to come.
Yeah. And again, it's important that, you know, I mean, when we first started in ministry, I was 30 years old. And, you know, you don't plan things out. You know that God's called you. You know that God's doing the work. And all you do is teach people the word and let God raise people up. You can't plan the church. What are you going to do, this and that? It's never going to work out. So there's no stress. There's no, you know, a lot of that worldly language bled into the word burnout and all that.
Yeah.
Burnout means God hasn't called you. You're doing it on your own.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But knowing that God's called you, knowing that he's anointed you, knowing that you know exactly what you need to do and that you're maintaining your relationship with Jesus Christ and that you're walking with God, you're taking care of your family, and God's going to work out the rest. And you deal with issues as they come with the Word of God and with prayer. Mm-hmm. And God enlarges your circle as you move down your journey of life in the Lord with more people around you and more faithful people, people that God uses. And he does that every generation. And so, you know, sometimes people have their own agendas and they stress out on it, or they deviate from God's calling, and then it becomes their own little kingdom, which is not very good. Mm-hmm. Even though God may still use them to save people.
Amen.
Doesn't matter. The bottom line is God saves. Nobody else saves. Mm-hmm. But we want to stay on track. If God has only 50 people for me to minister, then that's good. Mm-hmm. If he has 1,000, that's fine. Whatever God has. So we don't worry about, well, are people going to stay here? Are they going to leave? We just teach the Word of God. And we let the chips fall where it may. And we take one day, one week, one month, one year at a time. And here we are. You know?
Yeah.
God takes care of it. But there's no stress. We don't lose sleep. Again, the important thing is that you know God has called you. God has done it. And that's the most important thing. Otherwise, you're always trying to compare yourself. And you're trying to copy other people. You're trying to be this and that. And you're trying to micromanage everything, and you go crazy and you drive people crazy. And so you might be out there listening, and maybe you maybe you're a parent and you heard some things that are going on with Fernando and Diego and what they share about your kids. You know, make sure you are living the word, make sure you're taking them to church and you're going to church and being involved in church, and that they don't see the difference between you just going to church and living differently at home. Now, once again, that doesn't mean we don't have fun. Doesn't mean we can't be ourselves. But we're ourselves in a godly way. We kid around with each other. We mess around with each other. The same thing, but not the way the world, not the way we used to. And that's important because the kids pick up on it right away. And so it's important that as you do go to church, wherever God will lead you, that you become grounded in the Word of God, that you get involved, that you're there for your kids, you're ministering on them, holding them accountable. If you compromise, it's only going to become worse as you go down the line. You've got to hold that mark. They're not going to like it, but it's okay. You remember when you were a kid, your parents said no, and you thought you were the worst parents, but they now looking back, you know, they loved you. And that's just what you do. You do it in faith because you know what the Word of God says. And so God will take care of you. God will go before you. But you've got to be one who is taking your family to church. You're growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. So be a doer of it. Pray for your kids. Live for the Lord. God bless you. Keep it simple.
You've been listening to Keep It Simple with your host, Pastor Xavier Reese, on Simple Truths Radio. We hope today's broadcast has informed
encouraged, and challenged you in your own personal walk with Christ. For more information regarding Simple Truths Radio Ministries or Calvary Chapel Pasadena, please visit calvarychapelpasadena.com. We hope you'll be back for our next discussion, and may God richly bless your day.